Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Chile Q1 2022 results conference call. My name is Livia, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in Enel Chile's press release reporting its Q1 2022 results. The presentation accompanying this conference call and Enel Chile's annual report on Form 20-F, including under Risk Factors. You may access our Q1 2022 results press release and presentation on our website, www.enel.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. Enel Chile undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mrs. Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Chile. Please proceed.
Buenas tardes, good afternoon, and welcome to Enel Chile's Q1 2022 results presentation. Thanks to you all for joining us today. Joining me this afternoon, our CFO, Giuseppe Turchiarelli. Let me remind you that our presentation and related financial information are available on our website, www.enel.cl, in the Investor Relations section and in our app Investors. In addition, a replay of the call will be soon available. In the final of this presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions via phone or webcast chat through the link Ask a Question. On this occasion, media participants are connected only in listen mode. In the following slides, Giuseppe will open the presentation with our main highlights and strategy updates. Then we walk us through our main financial results. Thank you all for your attention, and let's hand over to Giuseppe. Giuseppe, please.
Thank you, Isabela. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. Let me start with the highlights of the period on slide 3. We continue to reinforce our leadership in renewable market, growing with renewable capacity. We connected around 0.2 GW of renewable to the grid during the Q1 of this year, and we still have over 1 GW of projects under construction that will be added during the 2022-2024 period. Argentina natural gas availability was a positive highlight of the period. During this quarter, the natural gas supply from Argentina was firm, which supported our natural gas swap strategy, as I will show you later on. In addition, for this year, we have contracted with Shell for around 12 LNG cargoes to fulfill our operation in Chile, a strategy that give us more flexibility. The annual general meeting held on April 27 approved the new dividend policy of 30% payout ratio for 2021 and 2022. This reflects the final dividend approved of 0.26 Chilean pesos, with payment date of May 27, totaling a distribution for the 2021 fiscal year of 0.37 Chilean pesos per share. Lastly, the extraordinary general meeting held right after the AGM approved the e-mobility business carve-out, which considers selling the 51% stake of Enel Wave Chile to Enel SPA, representing a cash in of 12.75 million euros in Enel Chile during the Q2 2022. Now, let's move to slide 4 to briefly talk about the market situation. During 2021, we saw a combination of factors that led to a very particular and stressed situation for the Chilean electricity system. Unfortunately, some of these factors continue to impact the energy market, such as a poor hydrology, a delay in the commissioning of some renewable projects at the country level, and the important overall increase of commodity price worsened by Russia-Ukraine conflict. In addition, there have been several failures and maintenance of thermal power plants that have put even more pressure on the system. All these factors have led to an increase in marginal cost during the first quarter 2022. However, we were able to cope with this situation thanks to our solid LNG supply position, which includes our long-term LNG contract with Shell and the Argentinian gas supply, which was successfully delivered during the first quarter this year. In this regard, it is worth noting that we have 12 LNG shipments already committed for year 2022, ensuring our supply for the entire period, out of which we have already received 3 cargoes. On Argentinian gas, between January and April 2022, we have imported an amount of gas equivalent to 5 LNG cargoes approximately. Our renewable expansion will be core to bring additional flexibility, so let's now take a look on our generation portfolio on slide 5. We are convinced that renewable expansion is the key factor to cope with the energy transition, and it will give us a better position in the current challenging context. Therefore, during the first quarter, we connected 178 megawatts of solar capacity to prove our consolidated position in renewable development in Chile. In line with our decarbonization plan and asset optimization, we completed the sale of Diego de Almagro thermal power plant, 24 megawatts, during the first quarter. Chile is now at the forefront of the just energy transition, and we will continue contributing to consolidating the country position and reaching the environmental targets set out in the Paris Agreement. Now, let's see our evolution in terms of network main API that support the electrification movement on slide 6. We continue to deploy the digitalization of our commercial channel. In the first quarter of 2022, 86% of our client interaction was executed through digital channels. Despite the complexity introduced by the pandemic situation, we have been able to enhance the quality of customer care thanks to the introduction of our app and WhatsApp interfaces to improve the communication with our customers. On the network side, our quality indicators continue to improve, supported by an increase of automatization at any level of our grid. As a result, our SAID indicator decreased by 15%. To conclude, energy distribution increased 5% in Q1 2022 compared to Q1 2021, reflecting the easing of the sanitary restriction and overall economic recovery and reaching pre-pandemic level. Now, let's see the main KPIs and highlights of our beyond commodity strategy that is supporting the electrification and decarbonization of the final consumption on slide 7. Electrification has turned into one of the main pillars of the decarbonization process and one of the core elements of our strategy. In that sense, we continue to develop different and innovative initiatives, promoting new uses of energy and bringing real change toward a sustainable future. E-mobility is one of the channels towards electrification, and on this line we are working on stewardship structure to foster the growth. One example is the creation of NLX Way Chile, which will be focused on e-mobility services. During the extraordinary shareholder meeting held on April 27, 80% of our shareholders approved the sale of 51% of this unit to NL SPA. That, by an international arm on e-mobility, has the commitment to accelerate electricity mobility in the country in line with the global trend, benefiting from scale economy. In our view, the growth of these units shall bring additional opportunity to our generation and distribution businesses. During the first quarter, we have incorporated 107 new electric buses into the public transportation system associated with Transantiago 5. This incorporation is also part of our Circular Cities project. It brings the development of the infrastructure and the energy sales, improving the quality of services and bringing technology closer to the people. E-industries and e-cities are important forms of electrification. In line with that, we have developed with the Mandarin Hotel, Oriental Hotel, the first rooftop in Chile that incorporates photovoltaic panels and biodiversity, which deliver unique and differentiated experiences with a dark positive impact on environment. On ECT, we continue to tackle new opportunities to build circular cities now outside the Santiago region. Now, in slide 09 on a summary of our main financial highlights of the quarter, let me start with a quick summary of the adjusted applied and a summary of our main financial highlights. In the first quarter of 2022, we applied an adjustment of $21 million in EBITDA due to the impairment made on the coal stock of the period. This has an effect at the bottom line of $14 million. To the same period of 2021, the adjustment applied due to the coal stock was a $15 million, with the effect at the bottom line of $9 million. The Q1 2021 adjusted EBITDA had an increase of 15% or $29 million, mainly due to positive provision of transmission business as a result of the conclusion of the regulatory tariff review process and indexation at a higher volume on generation and distribution businesses. In terms of adjusted net income, this increased by 41%, reflects the higher EBITDA and the lower financial cost in the period coming from the factoring of FX accounts made in Q1 2021 to improve the liquidity of the company. CapEx reached $167 million, a 31% lower than first Q 2021, mainly due to the connection of the new renewable capacity which has added in December 2021. FFO reached minus $151 million, presenting a significant reduction quarter on quarter, mainly due to the factoring of the PEC accounts made in Q1 2021 and the sales of Intero San Luis transmission line. Now, let's begin with the CAPEX on slide 10. 2022 first quarter accumulated CAPEX reached $167 million, out of which 93% allocated to achieve the SDG goals, particularly devoted to the construction of our new renewable capacity. Customer CAPEX total $15 million, mainly allocated to build new connection and to implement our new distribution commercial system. Asset management CAPEX reached $29 million, 35% higher than first Q 2021, mainly due to the maintenance in our CCGT unit. Development CapEx reached $123 million, a decrease of 41%, mostly driven by our renewable expansion program, which added nearly 0.9 GW of installed capacity in December 2021, and the recently connected Vajra solar power plant. Regarding the network business, we executed the lower CapEx due to the quality and digitalization projects made in Q1 2021. Let's move now to slide 11, where we have the summary of the first quarter adjusted EBITDA breakdown, accounting for $26 million, 15% higher versus 2021 figures. Our generation portfolio mix resulted in a positive variation of $14 million, mainly related to $82 million higher PPA sales in Q1 2022, primarily explained by the higher foreign exchange of the Chilean pesos against dollar, the new PPA agreement started in 2021, and the higher regulated demand. New renewable capacity, which was connected in December 2021, added $8 million in the EBITDA of the period. A positive effect on variable costs and purchases, mainly due to a more efficient thermal injection in the period, boosted by an aging commodity coverage instrument and negotiated for the period. All these elements were partially offset by a higher thermal generation cost due to the commodity prices. All the effects that I've just mentioned were partially offset by higher spot price in the system in the Q1 2021, mainly due to the higher commodity prices at the worldwide level, hydrology, and several system facilities that were into outage during the period. In the following on the slide, let me talk about the other elements that explain our EBITDA. Hydrology continued to have a negative trend, with 0.2 TWh less hydro generation impacted our EBITDA in around $16 million. Network remuneration and demand accounting for a positive impact of $20 million related to a positive impact of the release of the final transmission tariff technical report issued by the regulator in the first quarter 2022. This final tariff allow us to reduce the provision we have been made since the beginning of the new regulatory cycle that started in January 2020, and the tariff indexation in both business, network business, and the recovery of the demand in the period, which increased 5% in the Q1 2022 compared with the Q1 2021, reaching pre-pandemic level. Other effects accounted for $10 million, mainly related to lower OpEx in network business due to the union agreement signed in first Q 2021, and higher capitalization of generation business due to the construction of the project. Let me now give you more detail on generation on page 12. Net electricity generation grew by 15% to 5.2 TWh, mainly as a result of a higher dispatch of our combined cycle power plant and higher solar generation in the period, partially offset by lower hydro generation related to the reduced water availability. Our energy sales increased 27% during the first quarter 2022, essentially explained by the higher sales to three customers, primarily related to the new contract, coupled with an improvement in sales to regulated customers. Adjusted EBITDA grew 4% to $180 million, reflecting the portfolio effect that had previously mentioned. Regarding our sourcing on the stock of the already mentioned production variances, we accounted a total increase of 1.1 terawatt hour of purchases, primarily on the spot market to meet the higher energy demands of the quarter. Let me now give you more detail on networks on page 13. In first Q 2022, our networks business reached $56 million, an increase of 71% compared to Q1 2021 due to the above-mentioned effect. One of positive effects on transmission business, as explained in that slide, the tariff indexation in both network business and recovery of demand in the period, which increased 5% in Q1 2022 compared to Q1 2021, reaching pre-pandemic level. Lower OPEX due to the union agreement signed in Q1 2021. The performance of the network business in this quarter improved regarding the Q1 2021. The demand reached pre-pandemic, increasing in 5%, and the sales decreased in 20 minutes in this quarter. In regulatory terms, we expect that the tariff decrease from transition business will be published during the first half of this year. Now, on slide 14, let's go through the main driver of our group net income. Adjusted EBITDA increased 15% to reach a total of $26 million, mostly owing to the best results in distribution and transmission business. D&A impairment and bad debt reached $77 million, $9 million higher than the first quarter of 2021, mainly related to the higher depreciation and amortization in energy and power assets, primarily explained by exchange rate effects and the initial commissioning of new solar power plants. Also, there was a higher depreciation in the distribution and transmission segment related to the transfer of new investments into operation and the higher amortization of intangible assets related to the new commercial system recently upgraded at Enel Distribution. Financial results recorded a $36 million, declining by $11 million mainly to a lower expense related to the factoring executed in Q1 2021 in generation business on account receivable that arose from the tariff stabilization law. Increasing income tax were basically related to the improvement in results during the Q1 2022, partially compensated by higher tax credits due to higher monetary collection. Therefore, the adjusted Q1 2022 net income reached $89 million, representing a 41% growth when compared to the first quarter of last year. Moving to the FFO on this quarter 2022 on slide 15. Q1 2022 FFO reached a negative $151 million. 151% lower than previous year figures, mainly resulting from negative one-off effect related to the factoring made in Q1 2021 of the SPEC account, which had accumulated during the period in order to manage the cash needs from the business operation, and higher accumulated account of the stabilization mechanism in Q1 2022 versus Q1 2021, which has reduced the cash conversion in $44 million. negative effects related to the net working capital versus 2021, mainly explained by Quintero San Luis transmission line sales corresponding to Enel Generación Chile with a total positive cash of $29 million in Q1 2021, a lower collection of corporate clients in Q1 2022, and a lower factoring of distribution receivable accounts in the period compared to Q1 2021, also affected the cash conversion. Higher cold stock payments in the period and no cash EBITDA. And higher financial expense mainly explained by the new debt sign. These effects were offset by higher EBITDA that is already explained and lower income tax during Q1 2022, mainly related to the lower PPM rate in the field in generation and distribution. Let me now go to our debt evolution on slide 16. Our gross debt increased by $0.3 billion, amounting to $5.3 billion as of March 2022. Due to an intercompany loan granted by Enel Finance International to Chile for $300 million, mainly to fund CAPEX and networking capital needs. In terms of debt amortization, our schedule remains sustainable with an average maturity of 5.5 years. For the current year, we had around $400 million debt at Enel Chile level with EFI, that has a maturity in design. We have already started to evaluate several opportunities in the local international market in order to take the most efficient option. The average cost of the debt in March 2022 decreased to 3.9% from 4.4% as of December 2021 as a result of the financial management carried out during the last month. On the other hand, 20% of our total gross debt is currently SDG link. Our plan is to continue to pursue this kind of debt in line with our sustainable business strategy. In terms of liquidity, we continue to have a comfortable position. We are reserving some available committed line considering the possible headwinds in the debt market coming from the international conflict in Eastern Europe. Now, I would like to point out some closing remarks. We are always looking new alternatives to strengthen our generation portfolio, making it greener, efficient, and resilient to external shocks, such as the commodity volatility that the world is facing. We will continue to push the electrification of the country to open the access for more usage of electricity for our clients and communities. We are pleased to announce that we published our first integrated annual report. This report includes the financial and non-financial information for the 2021 period, and we also published the 2021 sustainable report. Both reports are aligned with TCFD and GRI and SAP standards, and they are available in our website in the investor section. The report reflects how sustainability is fully integrated into our business model and a risk management and value creation driver. It also demonstrates the company's effort to face the energy transition, mainly in the country decarbonization and electrification, and comply with our net zero commitment and the group commitment to the Paris Agreement. We are carrying an active portfolio management plan and other cash initiatives to support the implementation of our commercial strategy, strengthening a sound leverage structure. Let me now hand over to Isabel.
Thank you, Giuseppe. And before we start our Q&A section, just recall you, if you have any questions, please just put a question on the chat or just raise your hands into the call. Okay, but before going, let me just ask to all the investors and connected that highlighting that we have now published already our integrated report. That is our first integrated report, and also our sustainability report. So as Giuseppe mentioned, all the reports are aligned with the different kinds of taxonomies in terms of climate change and others. So we would really like your feedback and also any other information that any comments that you have in this report. Okay? So thank you very much. And now I will open the Q&A. Lydia, please.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. To ask a question on the phone line, you will need to press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. Now, first question coming from the line of Murilo Ricini with Santander. Your line is open.
Hello. Hi, Giuseppe and Isabella. Thanks for the call. My first question comes from the generation side. What are your expectations for generation among your several sources? Maybe you could comment a little bit about how these 12 cargoes of LNG compares to last year cargoes that you used, and what should we expect from hydro dispatches as the Chilean coordinator has adopted this strategy to save water for now to face a potential complex situation during the second or and mainly third quarter of this year. So a little bit of your feeling about this generation situation for the coming quarters. And my second question, if you could give us a little more details on these additional $199 million related to working capital that affected your FFO during this first quarter, please. Thank you.
Okay, Murilo, thank you for your question. We have now Giuseppe, please.
Yeah. Hi, Murilo. For what concern the 12 LNG shipments, as I said, we have already committed all this cargo for this year and already received three cargo. Consider that this year the situation is definitely better than last year because of the availability of gas in Argentina, that of course it will cover till April and we're supposed to receive in the summer period. No? And so we believe that the situation that we have this year with the shell availability and the gas Argentino is going to allow us to feel comfortable for what concerns the sourcing on this side. And for what concerns the FFO, let me say that this year if you compare this year with last year, as I said, we have a negative effect because last year we made the factoring of PEC. It was an important amount, around $130 million, related to the PEC accumulated till the moment. And this year the amount is definitely lower, but on top of that, we have also the impact of the accumulation of the PEC receivable because of the situation that we have, especially because of the situation that we have in the exchange rate, US dollar pesos. And another impact that we have to take into the consideration is related to the amount of capex that that we concentrated in the last quarter of last year in order to ensure the connection to the grid of our renewable plant. So all the situation give us a result that you can see in the slide.
Okay, thank you, Murilo. Operator, Lydia, do we have more questions?
Yes, our next question coming from the line of Javier Suarez with Mediobanca. Your line is open.
Hi, Giuseppe and Isabella, and thank you for the presentation and for taking my question. I have three. The first one is a follow-up on the negative working capital during the first quarter. The question is, what do you expect to be that number, that working capital absorption by the year end? The second question that is related is, can you help us to understand where do you see the net debt to EBITDA ratio by the year end, which is the assumption on capital that focus includes? And the third question is, if you can update us in the process for the tariff review, the ongoing tariff review in your network business. Many thanks.
Thank you very much, Javier. Please, Giuseppe.
Yes. Well, for what concerns the FFO and the negative results that we had this year, of course, as I said, are strictly connected to the one-off effect that we had last year, and also the perfil of CapEx that we had. We are expecting to recover the situation at the end of the year, considering the evolution of our business and also considering the fact that, of course, we're going to continue with the capital of the project. And let me confirm, taking the second question related to the capital, let me say that we are confirming the amount that we have already presented in our capital market day for the full year, that was around 1 billion, more or less. So all the capex are confirmed, and the trend is going well. For what concerns the net debt EBITDA, of course, the evolution at the linear end is going to be is going to have a better result in comparison to 2021. As you know, we are looking at extending operation in terms of asset rotation in order to improve this target. But let me say that without this asset rotation measure, we're going to be around to 5 times EBITDA. A little bit more than 5 times EBITDA without the asset rotation. And the last question, maybe I didn't get correctly.
Yes,
can you repeat it?
Okay, if you can repeat your last question, please.
So the question is if you can update us on the process for the tariff, the ongoing tariff review for your distribution business. Any update on that?
Well, actually, it's a good question, but we don't have a lot of information, unfortunately. As a matter of fact, you know that the process is pretty in delay. We do believe that we're going to have some additional news in the second half of the year. So as of today, we don't have in front of us any expectation or any news, at least before June. I believe that something is coming up in the second half of this year.
Thank you. And as a follow-up, you mentioned that your estimate on net debt to EBITDA was before asset rotation. So the follow-up question would be, what is the level of net debt to EBITDA that the company managed consider to be sustainable for Enel Chile?
Well, let me say that we are putting in place several actions to improve our net ratio. And clearly, one of the most significant is the asset rotation measure. And of course, as soon as we're going to have some additional information about the process, we're going to communicate to the market. We believe that this the improvement of the net debt EBITDA is something needed for Enel Chile, considering the ambition that Enel Chile has in its own plan, so to increase and to develop our decarbonization strategy. So we are monitoring clearly the situation, and we are going ahead with this action to improve the situation. Of course, this kind of situation is a temporary situation, because you know that as soon as all the projects, all renewable projects going to be put in operation, the situation is going to change. As a matter of fact, this year already the situation improved a lot in comparison with the last year.
And our next question coming from the line of Ezequiel Fernandez with Balance. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for the materials, as always. I have a question on the PEC limit, the receivables for the stabilization fund. We know that the government and the power generators are in talks, but I was wondering if you could share perhaps some details on whether a new agreement might imply a higher limit for the fund, or maybe a lower price for higher duration agreement on the PPA side, or something else.
Well, let me say that first of all, it's a very good signal that the government is trying to face this issue. You probably know that in June, PEC 1 is gonna be used totally. So basically, in starting from July, we need to find a solution. We don't have a lot of detailed information about this new proposal that has to be discussed in the parliament. What I can tell you is that, of course, we as a company, but also as an association, we are always in talks with the government. We believe that this new, at least for what we understood, we believe that this proposal is definitely better than the previous one, because it's going to limit the perimeter of the client that is going to be managed with the system. And what we understood also is that this proposal could be a temporary proposal in order to find a better way in order to manage the situation for the future. As soon as we're going to have better information, we're going to for sure discuss all together, but as of today, we are really at the early stage of the situation, so we don't have a lot of information.
Okay, great. And if I may ask a second question. Well, we saw through the last year many renewable projects winning bids in the distribution auctions for $20, $25 per megawatt hour solar and wind projects, right? So with this new scenario for spot prices that should be materially higher than what we thought before for at least 3 or 4 years, do you think any of these projects which are scheduled to start in 2023, 24, 25, if any of these projects are at risk of not being commissioned?
Well, clearly, you know, the trend of price is pretty different than last year. if I have to talk about energy, of course, every time that we decide to take the decision to build up a new project, we do have in mind our portfolio in terms of sales. Okay, so basically, all our projects or the projection of the energy that we have in our project under construction are in some way covered by the sales. If the question is more general, so if you look at what is going, what could happen in the system, clearly there could be some players that they are going to be affected by this trend. Now, again, here we need to decide whether, or more than to decide, we need to see the short, medium, long term, right? Because, of course, in the short term and maybe medium term, the trend are toward a price that are higher than what we saw last year. In the long term, clearly the situation is going to return to the previous estimation. We don't have any worries about energy, but you're right, it could be this trend, this situation could trigger some difficulties to the, especially to the small player.
And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question coming from the line of Andrew McCarthy with Credit Corp Capital. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, Giuseppe, Isabella. Thanks very much for the call and taking my questions. First one is with respect to the transmission business. Could you give us an update?
Sorry, if you could just... hi, hello, this is Isabella here. We are not able to hear you. If just like I can be close to our mic, please.
Yes, certainly. Sorry,
Isabella, thank you. Thank you very much.
Certainly, I'll try and speak louder. My first question was on the transmission business. There, I'm just trying to gauge, you know, where you are in that process with respect to the formal potential sale of that asset. And also just trying to understand, you know, from the presentation, you showed a sort of a transmission EBITDA and then a tariff adjustment. Should we be thinking there, therefore, that the sort of the annualized transmission EBITDA going forward is in the order of $75 to $80 million? That's the first question. And then the second question was with respect to the fuel costs in the quarter. You know, if we take a look at the particular the cost of coal, we take out the provision that you recorded, it appears that your unitary cost was very, very low. I'm just trying to understand if I'm reading that right and what might be behind that. That's it to begin with. Thanks very much.
Well, first of all, let me explain it a bit the point with the tariff adjustment. Transmission new tariff cycle had to start in January 2020. Since then, we started making a provision of what we estimated at that time would be the new tariff. Now, according to the last technical record that has been issued by the regulator, we understood that the provision that we made since January 2020 was lower than what basically the report is saying. So, in other words, we have a one-off effect because we had to register the positive impact related to the period 2020 and 2021. And this is the reason because we have such a positive impact in the tariff adjustment. Of course, as I said, it's a one-off because we are recovering what we didn't book in 2020 and 2021 because we assumed that the target would be lower than what the report is seeing right now. For what concern the sales of transmission, we are in the process, we are at the beginning of the process, and so as soon as we're going to have more information and something that we can disclose, we're going to communicate to the market. If I understood well the question about the call, you were in doubt about the fact that the cost of call Q1 2022 it doesn't include the impairment of coal. This was the question, because I'm not sure that I understood very well. Okay, can you confirm me?
Hi, Andrew.
So, once I take away, can you hear me?
Yes, if you could again just speak closer to the mic, because I think there's our mic here, but we're not able to listen you very well.
Understood. I'll try and speak up. So with respect to the coal, unitary coal cost in the first quarter 2022, once you take sort of adjust for the impairment, it seems to be a very low unitary cost. I just wanted to understand if I'm reading that right, and if so, why is it so low?
Look, for what concerns the cost of coal, without taking into account, of course, the impairment, so the external effect, the cost of coal that we have is between $150 to $200 per ton.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Operator, do you have more questions?
I am showing no further questions on the phone line.
Okay, then, thanks. So let's go here. So we have some questions here from the chat of our call. So let's start with a question from Rodrigo Mora from Moneda. Rodrigo has some questions, Giuseppe, so we're going to just list the questions and then we go one by one, okay? So the first question of Rodrigo also came from the same topic on the call. No? So Rodrigo is asking us to give more details about why the company continues to make the coal impairment, okay, in 2022, and if this decision might or not might be impacted by the coal prices today. The second, when one by one, is that
one by one. Well, for what concerns this point, the impairment of the coal is strictly related to the fact that our facility is supposed to be closed according to the plan. So basically, in other words, the fact that we have a plan that should be closed soon and according to the declaration that we made, and especially according to the fact that is not fundamental for our sourcing, this ARPA allow us to consider it as an impairment. Now, you know very well that there are some informal requests for the extension of the life of the plant. As of today, we didn't receive any clear request, or at least any written form request for extending the life. So, as soon as we are in this situation, we continue with the same criteria that we had so far.
Okay, thank you, Giuseppe. The second question from Rodrigo, we have already addressed it, but just to give more the numbers. So Rodrigo is asking about if we can give more details on the LNG contracted for 2022. And how many LNG cargoes the company has already consumed in this first quarter?
Yeah, the cargo, as I said, there are 12 LNG cargo for this year, and we have already used 3 cargo in the first quarter, 2022.
Okay, thank you, Giuseppe. And then we have other questions on the price stabilization mechanism that you have already addressed. So let me go now to another question that came from Mario Estela from Itaú. Mario is asking us, how are you planning to mitigate the effects of the end of the Argentinian gas supply and the problems with Bocamina 2, considering the weak hydro expected for this year? Is that it, please?
Yeah. So, as we said, we have a long-term contract with Shell, so we have a supply of LNG cargo already committed for this year. And you have to consider also that in our plan, in our budget, in our first year of plan, we didn't have into the account the fact that Argentina gas was available. So basically, if you compare with our target for this year, we are in a better position because of the Argentinian gas availability. In terms of hydrology, we have the same projection that we declare in the Capital Market Day. The situation in the first quarter, it was a little bit lower than expected, but of course the hydrologic year is starting in April. So, fortunately, the situation seems positive, at least for what we see this year, this month. Sorry.
Okay, then. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. But I think that we don't have any more questions from here, from the chat. So I would like to thank you all your attention to joining us today. And I conclude then our conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team will be available for any doubts, any feedback that you may have. Just contact us by our website, email, or telephone. Okay? Thank you very much for your attention and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.